Let's continue the conversation now with Heath Weber. Among other duties in his life, he's the camp director for the Ambassadors of Excellence program. Heath, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Lori.
So you're at Morningside College as well, is that correct?
I am, that's correct.
At Dean of Performing Arts?
Yes.
There we go. We got it right. Well, thanks for being here. I want to start with this idea that gifted kids think differently that we heard in our feature. Can you elaborate on that at all?
Well, you know, I think that's the basic understanding of young people who are gifted is I was reading an article earlier about a young man who said, you know, they feed me peanuts all day and I just want to bite into a big juicy hamburger. So that's a 5-year-old who's highly gifted. Mm. And as you look at that kind of thinking, they're often divergent thinkers. You know, they'll look at a set of solutions for a problem very differently from a typical young person. And that being said, they also might look at it absolutely normally, but they might achieve that answer much, much quicker. So the thinking can be similar or it can be very divergent. The fact remains that we have to encourage all of those opportunities for them to think in order for gifted education to truly be effective.
And you talked in the piece about a full mandate, and you remember having that when you were in school. Tell me,
right.
And that struck a chord with me because I think we maybe had similar experiences of what it used to be. Tell me what it was for you. What was gifted ed like for you growing up?
You know, I had some of the finest educators, I think, around. Linda Summers was my elementary teacher. Susan Beck and Jean Telestis in middle school and Phyllis Schrag in high school. And they were there to provide for me an opportunity to increase my learning in a way that I didn't even think was possible. Part of that mandate was that all of the gifted students were on individualized education plans, IEPs. And so we were in charge of our 3-year renewals. And we would talk about the things that we wanted to achieve, and we would have yearly goals that we would set for ourselves. And, you know, what an incredible opportunity for young, big thinkers to define their own education. And that's what was so effective and so wonderful about that full mandate in South Dakota is it still fell on the backs of the student, but in a way that they felt like they had control. You know, the state legislator who said it came down to local control of school boards. Well, ultimately, it really comes down to the local control of the student. Mm-hmm. And if the student is powerless in their education, then oftentimes they'll back away. And thankfully, because of my upbringing in the state during a time when gifted education was really powerful, I never felt that powerlessness that some of the young people feel today.
Mm. And Susan Beck was my teacher as well. As soon as you said your name, I was like, yes.
Oh,
and you
so
remember,
great.
And she would just, yeah, that individual, we did creative writing, and mm-hmm. she would take you aside, and what is it that you want to work on? And I remember we got out of school for things. We, mm-hmm. you know, I think there were classes I didn't have to take because I was able to follow that path. This is what turned me into a writer as an adult, was middle school with Susan Beck. The
Absolutely.
Impact is long-lasting. What were some of the individual experiences that you had that were different than what you might have today going to school?
You know, in elementary school, I remember it was right at the time of Space Camp, the movie, mm-hmm. and I desperately wanted to be an astronaut. And so we did all sorts of interesting and wonderful things. And at one point, I think I probably could have flown the space shuttle, which sounds totally nerdy, but I was just so passionate about that. I mean, I was talking about pitch and yaw, and I knew where the cockpit was and the buttons, and, you know, and that was the kind of the interesting piece to me was, you know, I wanted to know how it all worked. Mm-hmm. And then that opened up a whole other opportunity where we were researching the kind of experiments they would do on shuttle missions. And there was I did some of the same experiments that they did in shuttle missions, of course, you know, not in zero gravity, but it was just a neat opportunity for me to understand the learning that was happening in those missions, that I could replicate those things in a different way, but still understand what was going on in those missions.
And I remember being pulled out, I think it was reading class, or there were some other language arts that I was pulled out of to follow a different sort of path. And I think I would have just died in some of those other classes. You hear a lot of people saying this is elitism, or we're not really worried about these kids. Maybe I'm editorializing or leading you a little bit, but I think you would say that, yeah, we need to worry about these kids as well.
Yeah, you know, the No Child Left Behind mandate is, I think, absolutely fantastic, and we do need to close that achievement gap. But unfortunately, while we're terrified of leaving the average student behind, we are expecting our best and brightest to stay behind, and that's simply not okay in the world of education, where we want all students to be successful. If we are expecting a certain portion of them to literally stay behind, that just becomes an unacceptable educational outcome.
Do you see this in college students? Can you tell the ones that are fully prepared for the kind of learning that they need in college?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think we see kids who come in at all levels. You know, we have really fantastic, bright minds here. And we have students, of course, who struggle. And I think the beauty of the college experience is that it is designed to foster that lifelong love of learning. Mm-hmm. And it maybe happens differently in the collegiate setting than it does in a K-12 setting, because we aren't necessarily bound by as many restrictions as they are in K-12 education.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that going for us in higher education that K-12 doesn't necessarily have. But there are also lots of opportunities that public education can certainly incorporate to make young people's gifted experience, and truly even the entire educational experience, that much more powerful.
Heath, I'm hoping you'll come back and tell us more about some of those specifics in the future. Heath Weber is director for the Ambassador of Excellence program at the University of South Dakota. He's Dean of Performing Arts at Morningside College. Heath, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.